Welcome to Jeremy Chats with Coaches. Today I have with me Jai Thomas. Thank you for coming on, Jai.
Hi, Jeremy. Yes, thanks for having me, mate.
Thank you very much. Before we get started, can you just give me and my audience a little bit of an overview of who you are and how you came to the world of coaching?
Yes, no problems. I'm 50 years old. I've been divorced and remarried, and a lot of my career has been in the corporate world running large projects. And basically into coaching. I've always been into self-help books and trying to better myself for years. But I think the main thing that really made a difference to me was a light bulb moment where I basically caused the family breakup, and I was quite depressed, beating myself up to be a hopeless dad and all of those negative talks. And I went through a process, and there was times where I was holding my 17 month old son in the shower just crying, saying I'm sorry. And it all came back to my belief system of when I was a teenager and my parents broke up, and all I saw it was as negative. And I got to a place of accepting that and moving on. But what I didn't realize when I went through my own breakup, I reverted back to all that negativity. And my mindset was really lopsided. And I went through a process that just cleared that guilt. I had so much guilt. I was riddled with guilt. It just cleared that guilt of up there of 95% guilt down to like 0% guilt. And it was all about of me realizing, not people telling me, but going through this process where I had these light bulb moments that just flashed, and I could just see all the different benefits that actually came out of that breakup that I was referring to as a teenager. So it took me from a level of accepting and fast forward to a level of actually finding appreciation out of those events that were quite emotional. And out of that, there were so many other friends and other stories from football mates and so forth that were going through similar things. And I just found helping them, I got so much satisfaction myself knowing how much I helped them. I started to delve into that process and delve right into coaching. So that was really the turning point for me that got me into it.
That's fantastic. So that process that you went through to remove that shame and guilt, was that with a coach of your own, or how did you go through that process?
Yes, it was through a coach, and the word that was used was equilibration, which was basically equilibrating all that negative energy that I had over that event. And what I learned that neural pathways fire up, and 80% of our belief system really comes from those first 0 to 8 years of things that happen. And just naturally as human beings, we basically pigeonhole, even if it's a subconscious or unconscious moment or something that happens, we basically say, is this good or bad? Or is it, no matter what it is, we always pigeonhole either a positive or a negative, happy or sad, all of those things. And we all have different belief lines and a level of where we judge something. And it was about rebalancing that and basically taking it back to a neutral state. So, and that was done with a coach. And I was just like, oh, I've got to learn this process. So that's what I delved into. Learning that process, taking that on further. I acquired other tools and techniques that were just transformational and in clearing out trapped emotions, which is really what stops a lot of people from reaching where they want to be in their lives. So I just found that, just incredible that these tools are out there, and taking that from, as I mentioned earlier, taking it from a level of accepting to appreciating that event.
That's fantastic. So would you say your clients then in general have been people that have gone through similar things as you, or who are your clients?
Yeah, so a lot of my clients, I'm kind of not wanting to have a specific niche. I have a lot of different clients, women and men, but in saying that, a lot are men, and a lot of men that have gone through similar experiences. And that's why I really wanted to go to the next level. I had two friends that were contemplating doing things serious with their depression, And it was just like, hey, I know I've got these transformational tools. I need to assist people. So I then delved in and got my certification back in 2015. And yeah, just the satisfaction of knowing that you can assist people, because a lot of people out there don't realize. So in yeah, so that's what really got me going into it.
Yeah, I feel like from my own point of view, I was seeing psychologists for years trying to deal with things, and they would always get me to a level where, yeah, maybe I was no longer depressed, but I still was depressed because I didn't have a forward plan. It was all about, there was clearing things up from the past. But I feel like coaching is in the realm of positive psychology, which is brand is 10, 20 years that they've been really researching it within the psychology realm. And yeah, I feel like coaches right now are at the forefront of positive psychology.
Yes, absolutely. And you see people that have seen psychologists and other modalities like that for years. And through coaching, some of these things can be identified and make a difference to people, within one session. It's not something that, if I'm seeing somebody and working with someone and we're not having any results, which hasn't happened, but if we're not having any results after several sessions, we're starting to say, well, are we a fit? Are we matching? It's not a matter of dragging it on, creating some more drama. And, before you know it, if somebody's seeing a professional or a coach for years, yeah, not a subscriber to that.
Oh no, I mean, unless you're continuing to grow, there's always more that we can, yeah. But if it's
Yeah,
dealing with all
absolutely.
the same old things, then there's something wrong.
Yes, that's right. So if you're continuing to grow, you've got that. You visualize that dream life of where you want, whether it's an overall or you're focusing on business or family or relationships, whatever that may be. It's about assisting that person to, I suppose, bridge that gap and to get to that point. And it's about identifying, I really work into those deeper levels of what's that person's values, because a lot of time I find people think that's what they want to do, and when they get there, they're still unfulfilled. So it's about identifying what that person's true values are. And those values, really, they just sit in a hierarchy. So it's working with that person for them to identify what their hierarchy is and what are they getting from that. And once they've identified that, it's seeing, well, what are the blockers? Are there any blockers? So, like we touched on, the trapped emotions, limited beliefs. So how many people have the self-talk of saying, I'm not good enough, I'm an imposter, I can't do that. So all of that's just fear, and it stops people from actually getting to that destination that they want.
Yeah, so overall, would you say, if you could boil it down into one sentence or a couple of sentences, what would you say is the core philosophy behind your coaching?
Think really what I've come to know or believe, in my opinion, it all comes down to mindset. So mindset is absolutely massive. So my, I suppose, core philosophy is mastering your mindset. A lot of people are finding a reaction, a reactional, flipping about. They're not sure where they're going. Maybe it's to do with a conflict of their values. So it's really master your mindset so you can manifest your dream life.
Yeah, okay. So it all comes down to mindset.
Yes. Yeah.
You boil it down to one word, really.
Yeah. Nice,
Yeah.
short and sharp. Yeah, mindset,
So
absolutely.
by following your coaching, Jai, what's the ultimate result that your clients end up with?
So it's identifying the first thing I like to do with my clients is for them to call out where they believe maybe they're wanting more freedom, better relationships, all of those things. So my core belief or working with a client is first for them to find out what's that core value that they've got. Can you hear me?
So it's
Sorry.
it stopped it. What's that core value that they've got?
Yeah, so we refer to it as a shadow value. So people have values, and it's nice statements of saying, I like to spend time with family, and I like to go traveling, and I'd like to earn money to have a nice house, and I value these things, and that's all true and that's great. But what we work, a lot of it is all on feeling. So what's the actual feeling that you get from those things? And working with clients that I've assisted people who've been addicted to gambling and other things, and it was really going back to those feelings that could make a difference. So a lot of people talk about, and it's funny because I don't mind playing some cards myself, but a lot of people talk about addictions and alcohol and drugs and so forth, and it covers it. Is that something that's going into the body? But I'm a strong believer it's not that they're addicted to that, they're addicted to the feeling and the sensation they get from it. So similar to gambling, you're not putting anything into your body, but you're addicted to the feeling that you get from that.
Yeah, and most of us these days are addicted to the feeling that we get from a like or a comment on social media.
Absolutely, because that gives them something, gives them attention, maybe a sense of belonging,
And
all of
a
those
little hit of
things that go.
dopamine,
Yes,
which is the same thing
absolutely.
cocaine's giving you, so.
Yeah. And one of the analogies I like to use, Jeremy, is cigarettes. And most people have either tried or do smoke or know somebody. And cigarettes, it's a perfect example where do they really like the cigarette? It's something when they first have it, they're coughing and their eyes are watering, but people persist. And the reason they persist is because they want to be cool, they want to be part of that group, they want to fit in. It comes back to that sense of belonging. So I'm a strong believer of that's why we'll push through to get those feelings. So those feelings can trump. So it's about tuning in and with different tools and techniques can really elicit that with my clients so that they're aware of what's that underlying. Is it, do they want to feel rebellious? Do they want to feel superior, have control in their life? All of those things that aren't bad, but it's they're being aware of it to know what you can tune into and use that as the fuel to get to your destination. It's so powerful.
Yeah, 100%. I love shadow values. It's something that I don't think I'd heard of until I was doing my coaching certification. Oh no, actually, I think my coach might have done shadow values with me before I did my coaching certification. But I found that mine are attention, superiority, and control. These are things that you
Yes.
don't normally want to tell someone. I have a value of being in control. I have a value of getting attention. Those. If you keep those hidden and pushed down, they will demand, and you'll end up doing negative things for attention or negative things to be in control. But if you just embrace those shadow values and do things like a podcast where you're talking to coaches and you're getting all this great information out to people, but you're also getting some attention, or this sort
Yes.
of thing, then you can use your shadow values to get what you need, but also to be giving positively to the world. Yeah.
Yes, that's right. And a quick example, one of my clients who he literally has lot he lost his marriage, his kids not talking, his house. He had a GPO where he's getting additional credit cards and used up his line of credit. He's just gambling. He went to all the Gamblers Anonymous meetings. He hadn't gone more than 2 days of gambling. He'd literally walk out and go and gamble. And I was like, well, what's the benefit you're getting from it? And he nearly wanted to hit me in the face. So he's like, what are you talking about, a benefit? I'm not getting any benefit. I've lost this, I've lost that. And we kept on drilling down. And what came out of that is that he was always being controlled, in his opinion, being controlled by his partner. And when things happened, he felt like he had the authority and the control. And that was by gambling. So we started to elicit these things of what does he get, what's his benefit of doing that, and that's when he realized that he can just shut everything else out. And working with those shadow values, it was like, well, what in the past, what other things have you done that have allowed you to feel in control and feel that you're able to make those decisions, you've got that authority. And he went back and said, oh, I used to always go out to the driving range and take 300 balls and just hit the ball. So we worked out what his trigger was for the gambling, and we basically substituted that in. And we went through. I said, well, what was the feeling? What were you getting when you were driving the car? And he said, I'd get off on that first exit and go into the gambling venue, and that's how we elicited it. And then it was a matter of, okay, when those triggers happen, instead, I want you to go to the golf course, get your 300 balls, and go out there And he started replacing different activities that gave him the same feelings. And the first time that happened, 100 had not touched anything. So he had a relapse. We went through it all again. And after three years, he still hasn't gambled. So that was one of my biggest highlights that really reinforced the strength of tuning into those shadow values.
That's so good. And I think driving at the driving range in the long run is going to be a lot cheaper than gambling.
Absolutely.
A lot less destructive. That's good. And it's exercise too.
Yes.
What are
Yeah,
some of the,
absolutely.
what, as you've been doing this, what you say you were certified in 2015?
Yes.
So we're coming up on 9 years now. I know you coach all different kinds of clients, but have you noticed patterns of common challenges that your clients face, and how do you help them through those obstacles?
Yeah, I think the most common one, mate, is a lot of people have in their mind what they're wanting. So they can kind of picture that, and we go through those exercises. But the most common thing is the fear of taking those first steps.
How do you help them through that fear?
So there's a number of tools, but one of them, which I think you might be aware of, is that universal freedom technique, which if there's trapped emotions holding them back, a lot of the time it's something that's happened and they're now scared to do that, whether it's relationships or letting go. So we use those tools.
I am familiar with it, but can you describe the universal freedom technique just a little bit for the audience?
Yes, basically it's been used on thousands of people, and it's really about tuning into that energy. And what's good about this is it's not you're not having to relive that moment. So it's about tuning that into that energy and seeing and talking to that energy of what's that emotion there? What, why is it there? Is it there to serve me? What are the learning things I need from that? And being able to let that go. So you're basically with the intuition that's your own person that's feeling the emotion. Where is it located? And actually letting go. And it's powerful. You can actually see the change in people's faces when it happens.
It's amazing. You start with someone who, and you ask them to rate their problem on a scale of 1 to or 0 to 10 or whatever on how bad it is. And it's usually a 9 or a 10 if they're coming to us with this. And then by the end of the technique, which takes 30 or 40 minutes, they're saying it's a 0 or a 1 or a 2. And it's just like, and they're just amazed. And then, yeah, they come back and it's still gone. Have you read the book Letting Go by Dr. David Hawkins?
No, I haven't.
It's just all about letting go of anything. It's, you know, very, it's not Buddhist, but it's very Buddhist in its style, I guess, of learning to let go of everything, whether they're good things, positive or negative things. It doesn't matter, just not holding on to anything really. But anyway, he talks about how when you work with thoughts and you try to change your thoughts, there's thousands and thousands of thoughts that might go with one emotion. You let go of that one emotion and you've dealt with those thousands of thoughts, they just go as well. So that's I find that the universal freedom technique is amazing for that.
Yes, yeah. Basically, it's releasing that emotion, and what's great about it, people don't have to relive maybe a traumatic experience. So, yeah. But no, I'll
Don't even have to
check
know
that
what
with you.
it is that's causing, they don't even have to know what it is that's causing that emotion.
Yes, and that's why I loved it, because there's other tools and techniques where sometimes you may have to go there to assist that person to equilibrate those emotions, whereas this one, not at all. And really, those emotions of it's yeah, it's really powerful.
Good. Hey, one thing I like to ask is when you've finished something like the Universal Freedom Technique with a client, do you normally give them some sort of homework between now and the next session? So what kinds of homework do you give out?
So depending with each client, but it's all about, I suppose, firing those neurons and sending light down pathways. So there's specific homework per se for that, really, but it's dependent on the client with the questions after. Certain things may come out of it. So it's really from the emotional side is for them to get value out of that. So what the emotion comes for a reason. So it's about identifying that.
Okay, so you find that you're able to deal with generally in the session, and they don't you don't need to give out any kind of homework, or you generally do, or
No, well, really, it's now to focus on what's our objective. So we've cleared that out because
yeah.
there was a blocker of why you're not doing it. So the homework is not about specifically that emotion because
Okay.
that emotion's not troubling them anymore. And now we're focusing on where's our destination, where do we want to get to?
Okay, so the next
So,
step.
and think things that may come up after that is that they've cleared that emotion, but maybe they've got a conflict in their values. So that's then something that we'd work on. So it's kind of dependent on the client.
Right, okay. Yeah, I guess it's something that you generally would come up with them
Absolutely.
rather than you
Yeah.
assigning something, yeah.
Yeah,
What's your strategy?
absolutely. Keeping them accountable after that is the
Yeah.
I find is one of the biggest things. And even for myself, when I have accountability, when somebody's there, or you just, it might even be just logging your food because your target is to lose weight. Having that accountability to log the food makes an absolute massive difference. If there's no accountability there, then that's when people can start going sideways from where their goal is, where they want to get to. So the accountability is massive, and that's really the main things that come out of it after that.
And what is it that you do to hold them accountable?
So one of the biggest things for me is I like to use the word inspire rather than motivate. I feel like motivates, you're cheering for your team. Inspiring, it's coming from them. And when it comes from them, they own it. And the biggest way I work with clients to do that is for them to realize what's their benefits of doing it. And it's, I suppose it's at that level, you say, oh, what's the benefits? But you actually get them to write out the benefits. And I'm not just saying one or two benefits. I'm saying, how does that benefit or how does that improve your life in this area? How does it benefit and improve your life in that area? And I want you to write out when you get 10 in that one area, I want you to push to 15 and then to go, well, how does that help in my career? How does that help in my relationships? How does that help in with me with money? And all of these things are interrelated. Now, all of a sudden, this lopsided view they had is now balanced out and they can see the benefits. So now they're inspired and they want to actually do it. And you tie that back, you link that back to their shadow value, and bang, they're off and running.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you. The person has to be inspired to do it themselves, or certainly the actions aren't going to continue if
Yes,
it's just
yes.
for
And
you.
the biggest, and the biggest way to for them to find that inspiration is for them to see all of the benefits and how that's going to serve their shadow value. So it just loops back around and it covers all bases. It's great. And then as most people, well, not most people, but people know, sometimes if they're still struggling, it may be just to chunk those sizes down. And that was something from my corporate world, project management and also coaching, is to chunk those down to the size that people can take action and can do it. And once they start getting that momentum, that's where they get more inspiration back. They see it serving their shadow value and they keep going. So yeah, that's the only, one of the other main reasons why they may stop is just because it's a too big a task. And it's like, oh, where do I start here?
Right, yeah. So sometimes they come to you after, last week you said, let's do, or they've said, okay, this is the step that I'm going to take, or the three steps, or whatever I'm going to take before next week. And they come back and they haven't done anything. You often find that's because they, together, you've come up with something too big for them to tackle right now, and you chunk it down to a smaller.
Yes, and you keep chunking it down till they basically got no objection to doing it. They're like, of course, yeah, of course I can do that. So yeah, ch chunking it down into that size that they believe they can do that. So like, fitness, a lot of people you say, go out and do a half marathon, they're not even going to get off the couch. So yeah, it's about
For a lot of people, in 1 week, they, put their running shoes on every day or something. Like, it might be a very
That's
small
right.
thing for some people.
Yeah, and it might be just going for a 2 minute walk or a 10 minute walk,
Yeah.
whatever it might be, but it's about getting it to where they go, oh, I can do that. And so let's get that
Yeah.
step done. Yeah.
Yep. Awesome. So what would you say, what's one piece of wisdom that you find yourself consistently giving to anyone who will listen, whether it's clients or friends or family, what's one piece of wisdom you're consistently giving out?
Yeah, one, I like to imagine, if you imagine like a share graph line, and I call that your life from your start on your left to when your path on your right, and there's ups and downs the whole way. And one thing I'm commonly saying is that when people are feeling, it's nothing's going right, I'm in one of these pits, is that I like to say it's just a blip on the radar, and one day you're going to look back and see that blip, because there's other things that have happened in your life that was a blip, but at that time it was the biggest thing in your life and you struggled to deal with it emotionally in every way. And so that's just a blip on the radar. And whether it be one day, 1 month, 1 year, 5 years, it's happened for a reason and you've learned that. Now, you may not ever know that reason, but have comfort to know that that's happened for a reason. So that's something that I've found comes out a lot. Even before doing coaching, that would come out, and it was, I suppose, a way of knowing that there's always ups and downs, and no matter how bad it is at that point, there's going to be better time.
For a reason.
Yes. Yep. Have solace that it's for a reason and move forward. Yeah.
Thank you, Jai. Just a couple of last questions just to make sure that we've covered everything that we can in this short time. So if either of these questions, either or both, are your answers just no, that's perfectly fine. But if you have something, that's fine as well. So whatever, wherever we go with these. But number one is there anything that we started talking about that you didn't get to say as much as you wanted to because we headed off in a different direction, went on a bit of a tangent?
No, I think we covered most of the things that I had in my mind that I wanted to cover. So yeah,
Awesome. And then,
no, I think we covered all the main things.
fantastic. And then, is there anything about Jay Thomas, about you, your philosophy, and your work that I didn't even know to bring up, that you think would be a glaring omission in a discussion of Jay Thomas' life and philosophy of coaching?
No, I think we covered it. I think the main thing, just to reiterate, is that I suppose that belief of our neural pathways, and there's positives and negatives of every event. I think that's one of the main things I like to communicate.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Jai. What I'll do now, there's two main reasons for this podcast. Number one is so that everyone can listen for free and gain whatever they can glean from these little chats with all different kinds of coaches and all different kinds of niches, different philosophies and whatever. But the other thing is somebody is going to be listening who is thinking, I need Jai Thomas in my life to help me move forward. For that person thinking that today, how do they find you? How do they contact you?
Yes, they can direct message me on Messenger, Jai Thomas. My email is thomas.jai, Jai 25 at gmail.com, and the website's currently under construction, so that's
Right.
zohocoaching.com.au.
There's still something there. You can still get to zohocoaching.com.au.
It's, I think, in about 2 days you will be.
Okay, cool. Awesome. Well, yeah, well, this won't be published for a week or two, so that's great. Thank you, Jai, and thank you very much for coming on, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Great. Thanks, Jeremy.
Oh, and
Appreciate it. Appreciate your
sorry,
time.
I better say that you can find all my links at jeremywest.net. Now, Jai, we had some listener feedback, and it usually gives me, sometimes gives me transcripts, but it didn't for a lot of them, so I thought I would play them here at the end, and whether you want to stay on
Yep.
and see if there's anything to comment on, but I will, if any of them are just, I don't want to include them in the podcast, I won't. So
Yeah,
yeah, let's see if there's
no
anything we want to
problem.
add, any replies we want to make to any of these. So here's first one by KV with a smiley face.
I've noticed there's a trend of people referring to themselves as coaches, and I've always wondered about this because traditionally coaching has been relegated to sports and physical activity, not necessarily the mental things that you're talking about, the psychological things that you're talking about, not necessarily. I know that coaches in sports help motivate their athletes to push themselves and to say, hey, you can do this. You're physically capable of doing this if you do what I tell you to, if you follow my instructions. So when people are saying that they're coaching people in life, and regulating their mental processes, they're really just instructors. They're teachers.
Yeah, well, yeah, I'd agree. But except that I can see why it's why the same thing is used as for athletics, because as you said, they're, in athletics, they are motivating people and helping, well, inspiring people to do the very best that they can. And that's what coaches are doing in life as well.
Yes.
Anything to add, Jim?
Yes. And I think what's important there is that you can have all the physical capability, but mindset's the one that's going to get you to the top of the level that you want to achieve or that you can achieve. And obviously you need both. You can have mindset and not have the physicality, then you're not going to make it, but it's also going to be the other way. And I was talking to my partner actually just last night and saying, isn't it funny how there's, you know, just in our suburb, there's probably five gyms and every suburb's got several gyms and each one of those have got several personal trainers in there. And it's such a focus, which is great, but the actual people out there of they should be getting personal training with their mindset to assist their life in all of those different areas. So it's just as important.
Actually, at one point, and I would actually say that within athletics, it's more personal trainers that are doing. I think people think of the coaches as people that are doing physical training with people, but that's physical trainers. The coaches are working on mindset. And just team, keeping everyone together as a team. But I, at one point when I was marketing my coaching, I was thinking of calling myself a personal trainer for the mind. I don't remember exactly the term that I had, but it was because I was thinking of setting something up where it was a daily sort of an app with a daily activity to do. So that's more like a personal trainer than it is, I'd say, like a coach.
Yes.
So.
It's funny. Interesting. I've looking at the exact same thoughts, mate.
Okay. And sorry, and it's KV, by the way, not Kai. Go ahead, Jai.
Oh, yes. No, I was just saying I've had the exact same thoughts of calling myself a personal trainer for the mind.
Because that's actually what I've felt like I needed sometimes was a daily dose of someone giving me the ideas of what to do today to move in that direction. So because that was something I needed in the past, I felt like that was something that I should put out, and maybe I still will. Maybe both of us will.
Good.
Excellent. Let's listen to a few more. If you need to go, that's fine at any time. Just let me know. There's a few more from KV.
But it seems like when you say coach instead of instructor, it involves your whole body, not just sitting at a desk and taking in knowledge, but actually incorporating your whole body into the instruction, right? I'm starting to come to the conclusion after listening that, especially when you're listening to a man, and there's men and women coaches, is that the coaches are kind of making up for the lack of parenting that is the trend nowadays. Less people experience a family situation with both parents living in the household together. And because they lack this instruction early on in life, they're seeking it down the road. And so that's why I think we see a preponderance of people referring to themselves as coaches in life as a substitute father or mother figure in their life that they didn't get early on.
That's interesting because in some ways my coach did the opposite for me because for 18 years we are trained that you have to ask permission to do anything. And your parents are in charge, and at school, your teachers are in charge. So, you know, you have to ask permission to have a second helping of food, or at school, you have to ask permission to go to the bathroom. And
yes,
after 18 years of training in that, it's really hard to then go into adulthood and realize that you have free will to make your own choices. And the first thing my coach did with me was, and she's a woman, by the way, was to make me write up a big sign or inspire me to write up a big sign that said, I'm allowed, and put it where I would see it every day as I was leaving the house to remind me that I make my decisions now. I don't have to ask anybody else for permission.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is, it's like being conditioned, I suppose, in those first 18 odd years of your life. And I think a lot of people.
But it is, go ahead.
Oh, Kai's comment. It's true to an extent that things that have happened throughout our childhood as adults, that if it's an emotional charge, that they do bring that in. And it's even a lot of professions you'd find, not 100%, but a fair majority, like for example, nurses, and they may have came from a family that was very caring, but also the complete opposite. And that's why they just want to care. And also a lot of law enforcement came because of their childhood. Maybe they were feeling judged or they weren't judged. So it's kind of, I always find it's like either one extreme to the other that can
Yeah.
mold people into their. So, yeah.
Right. So you could become, because you had really good parents. In fact, I've talked to some coaches on here who their parents were amazing coaches of them, which is what KV is saying, is that coaches are substitute parents. So they then, because they had such good coaching as children, they're able to give good coaching as adults. But then there are other people who had the opposite. They had terrible childhood and didn't have that good parenting, and then they probably found a coach who was a substitute parent for a little while, and then they
Yep.
were able to do that for others as well. Yeah, I think it's a great point. Okay, there's a bunch more. I think, thank you everyone for leaving all the comments, but I think that'll do for today. And thank you again, Jai, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, Jeremy. Bye.
Thanks, KV.